us, and we love him because he first loves us. And thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten son. Amanda, one son. God has one son, and he gave him for us. It's wonderful, isn't it? The only begotten son. And that's why we love him so much tonight. And the brethren are so excited. We thank God for Brother Andrea, that good word that he gave. And Joy, that was a perfect song. That was a perfect, I love that song actually. And that is one of my favorite songs. I almost ask you to sing it again. It is such a beautiful song, and you have such a beautiful voice, and we thank God for that song and your way you gave us, and that song also the scripture that you use, Psalms 100, and you went back into Psalms 142. And that, put the whole Psalms up there. 142. And you went down to verse 4. And look how beautiful this, we've gone over it, but look how beautiful this, and the depth of the scriptures. You can never fathom the depth of these scriptures. And here is a soul in distress, and he's seeking answer like we do from the Lord, crying out, seeking answer, and cannot find it in man. The answer is not in man. The answer is not even in the preacher, but the answer is in God. Do you know that? The answer that you need tonight is in Jesus Christ. If you're looking to men for an answer for your soul's need, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. And I'm going to show you why. The answer is not in man. It's not even in man that walketh to direct his steps. And when you look to men for salvation, for deliverance, you're going to fail. But you have to look, David says, to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, now and forevermore. Okay? Your help cometh from the Lord. Now, verse 4, it's just a powerful verse. We've gone over it, but look at it a little bit before I move on. It says, I look, go to verse 3. Go to verse 3, back up. When my spirit, you see, you really cannot separate. God did, I know that, but in Hebrews 4, we touched that this morning. But in this dealing, separate spirit and soul. Because God's dealing with them, both. Notice what he said. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. What does that mean? Somebody help me, you teachers. Overwhelmed within me. Give me some simple definition or words or explanation. It's overwhelmed. You ever see when somebody just get the hand of themselves? Burn out? Don't know what to do? Can you help me? Exhausted? Come on, open your mouth. Don't be afraid to talk. Faint? What? Wit's end? That's a good one. My spirit, that's your human spirit. This is not God's spirit now. It's when your human spirit is overwhelmed. within me. So your spirit is within you. You have a spirit within you. Then thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. They who? The persecutors. The devil. The enemy. Not just man, but the adversary of our souls that we've been dealing with. This goes deeper than man doing. A man can persecute you, put you in jail, but there's an enemy of our souls that want to destroy us. The devil does not only want to destroy your body, but he want to destroy the soul. All right, verse 4, go on, says, but I look on my right hand for help. Have you ever tried to find help? See, a lot of people think that you have preachers writing them all over the country, send me this and I'll give you help. You're deceived. They cannot help you. You're blessed to have a church where you sit under the word of God, and that's what's going to help you. It's not the preacher across the ocean or somewhere, town, that's going to preach you, help you. It's a church, a local church with a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Like the Philadelphian church. Amen. Filled with brotherly love. Now, I look to my right hand and beheld. So you, if you learn from the word of God, you'll never do that. Waste time. He said, but there was no man that wouldn't knew me. That means know my needs, how to deal with my problems. Now remember, you cannot handle it. A lot of us have issues we call and problems that we say, well, I'll deal with it. I know how to deal with it. But you don't. Oh, I'm free. I'm delivered. I'll never do that again. But that's just talk. Without the help of God, this poor man cried unto the Lord. Okay? Without the help of God, you'll never get free. Only God can set us free. When we come under the attacks of the devil, the bondage and the yoke of the enemy, there's no help to the right hand or to the left hand, but to the hills.
Amen.
From God. Your help cometh from the Lord.
Amen.
I looked to on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. You understand? Know my problems. Understand me. Could tell me what I need to do. What I was going through. Explain my suffering. Okay? Tell me how to overcome my weaknesses. How to overcome my besetting sins. Nobody know me. They could criticize me. Even your friends, your relatives, but they really didn't know how to help you. Refuge, fail me. You seek for refuge in man, and when you think you got it, they send you a little bottle of oil or some holy water, and you think now you found the answer in that little piece of rock from Jerusalem, but you find out that that's not it. Refuge, fail me. So what do? Well, I feel like just giving up, throwing up my hands and begin to doubt whether God's alive or not. But remember, he's alive because you're not looking to God. You're looking to men. Now, refuge fail me. And you're looking in the wrong direction because no man cared for my soul. You said, oh, that pastor that was back there, but now they cared because the evangelist is preaching repent your soul, so he cared. We must win souls. We've got to go into all the world and win souls. And you take on a burden and you begin to cry for souls. But listen to this. And the reason why we, and I'm not discouraging you, go ahead and cry for souls. But when you begin to understand the scripture more, there's a scripture in Ezekiel 18. Go there. And there's a verse that I need. It's the old chapter is beautiful. But in Ezekiel 18, it says, "All souls are mine." I want that one. That verse. In Ezekiel chapter 18, and it says, "All souls are mine." Verse 4. See, you can read the old chapter, okay? But I'm just picking here for the lesson's sake. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, help me. Behold. Hello, who's talking now? You remember that the lesson says, he looks to the right hand and there was no man to help. Refuge failed. No one could help his soul. Because he was looking to man who did not have the answer for the soul. Man has not got an answer for your soul. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So here, behold, all souls are mine. Let's read it.
Behold.
Now, who is speaking?
The Lord.
The Lord. What did he say?
Behold.
What did the Lord just say in Ezekiel?
All souls are mine.
All souls are mine. That means they belong to God. Now, that includes your soul. Your soul doesn't belong to you. You ever hear somebody say, my soul? Well, not really. Your soul belongs to the Lord. Have you ever have a car? Eh? And the title is in your, you hold the title. You paid for it, you bought it. Whose car is it?
Yours.
Are you sure?
Yes. It's in my name.
It's yours, right?
Yes.
Why? Because in your name and you have the title deeds.
Yeah.
Well, God has the title deed to your soul.
Amen.
He hones you.
Amen.
He hones your soul.
Amen.
My goodness.
Yes.
All souls are mine. If you ever get that, you'll be shouting. Because the devil does not have authority over your soul. That's why he said, fear not him who can kill the body, but rather who can kill both body and soul in hell. Why? Because the soul belongs to God.
Amen.
As much as the body.
Amen.
But then he goes on, if they're mine, he's responsible. God is responsible for my soul. All right. They're mine. Then he goes on now. Somebody said, yes, but not everybody. And he explains, says, let me tell you something. All souls are mine. He said, your daddy, your mama, your cousin, your in-law, outlaw, no law, everybody's soul. Whether they're rebellious, whether they go to church, whether they serve God or not, everybody's soul belongs to God. God owns the soul. You hear preachers say, give your soul to the Lord. That's just a phrase. He's got, how are you going to give me my car when I already own the car? How are you going to give God something he already owns? Well, I came to the Lord and I gave my heart to the Lord. I gave my soul to the Lord. Oh, please give your soul to the Lord. You see, it's because we really don't understand the scripture. Because I cannot give my soul to the Lord. Because it belongs to him. He only lends it to me. And for me to be saved, I just give him back and surrender what he gave me.
Yes.
Well, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You're just giving him back what he loaned you. And if you're good and faithful and obey him, he's going to make somebody out of you. And if you don't, he just put you in the scrap heap. Read it. He says, everybody's soul is mine. So here now, here we come on. Oh, Lord, can you reach my son? Stop praying like that. Everything belongs to the Lord. You'd be better off beginning to thank him. Amen. But we doubt and we complain when you ought to begin to praise him. And ask the Lord to bring that soul out of prison. You see, it belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord, but it got in jail. It got in prison. You say, oh, could that be? Has anybody ever have a son? Or a daughter? That's your son and your daughter, but they became rebellious. And they stepped out of bounds. So they end up in jail. Your son in jail. So God's saint, but God's children in prison. So it's souls in prison. Okay? Soul in prison. We fall prisoners to the devil. And when we do, nobody humanly can get us out. Only God can get us out. Nobody can get us out because the devil is too strong. But it takes a stronger man than the devil to get us out. So when he looked to his right and to his left, and there was none to help him. Okay? There's no one to help him. The story goes on. Here's Ezekiel. Behold, all souls are mine. That's beautiful. I say, if you ever get this, you'll shout. The devil will never ever get the victory over you again. When he comes, the soul, your soul is not yours. It belongs to God. It's not yours. And when you begin to have this revelation, and the devil say, yeah, go out and have a good time. How can I? It's not my soul. I cannot use God's property to do that. And you begin to understand that's not yours. But because notice I'm going to show you, right? It said, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. Also the daughter, the mama, the pa. Right. There's no gender with God. Yeah. The soul, notice here now, and it said now, because God lent you that soul. Then he said, the soul that sinned. That means habitual, continually, without repentance. Continue. Sinneth. Not just sin. But continue in that. It becomes a lifestyle. That's you. And Tatiana was talking this morning. That was good. I was telling parents that in Galatians and some of these scriptures, Romans 7. That was good. Okay? When I would do good, evil is present with me and so on. And Paul. And then it goes on where one scripture, then after the inner man, I delight in the law of God, and so, but I found another law working in my members, and we'll get into all of that. But are you following me now? As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. So that little baby went, oh, my son, oh, I'm... Come on. And you begin to instruct it and tell it what to do, how to do it, how you control him. That's God's property. Amen. God only used you. A vessel. If you ever know what you're doing, you're tampering with God's property. And you plan the life, and you program it for, and you never check with the creator, the owner. Really? I was going to say you're just a tenant. Are you following me?
Yeah.
The soul of the son is mine. Anybody got a son?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ronald? My son. Ah, just come on. Temporary. But it belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
That soul that he has belongs to God. All souls are mine. Now, the warning is, listen to me now, because it's my property, and the Lord said, I won't always tolerate foolishness or sin. The soul that sinned, what's going to happen? Fear not him who can kill the body, but can kill both soul and body in hell. He said, it shall die eternally. That's straight. In other words, the soul that will not seek me and cry out and get out of prison.
Amen.
You stay in prison, you die.
That's right.
So the psalmist says, bring my soul out of prison. And when he cried to the right, no one was there to rescue him, no refuge. But he finally found it in verse 7. When he began to cry to the Lord, he said, bring me out of prison so I can fulfill my purpose, my calling. You were created to praise the Lord. And the devil has got us in bondage. So he said, bring me out of bondage so I can praise. When you sit there and we sit there and let the devil bind you up, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. When you should be hurrying to the altar, to the cross, you're playing. I got time. Time for what? Time for what? The Lord says, the soul that sin it or continue in sin, I'm going to destroy it.
Shall die.
He's going to destroy it. That's what he's saying. Nobody gets away. All right? And then it goes on and give you the whole line. Can you read it? You can read the whole thing. But if a man be just, that means how does he become just? What's the way out? Justification. Christ is our justification. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is the way out of sin. If a man be just, I feel like shouting. And do that which is lawful and right. You see how God began to bring that soul out of prison. And now remember, lawful. Lawful. Somebody says, see there now? It's talking about the law. What law? What law? Because you have the law of sin and death. We call it the moral law, but I can't find that scripture that says moral law, but we understand what he's saying. The Ten Commandments. Okay? But Israel could not keep that. And we cannot keep that. And even if you could keep it, you would not find salvation in that. But remember now, there's another law that we keep. It's called the law of faith. It's called the law of liberty. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you quickly, hold your finger there and go to James chapter 1, verse 25, quickly. James chapter 1, and I'm going to come back right here to Ezekiel, right? But notice, let's all read that. James. Put that up so everybody can see. James 1 and verse 25.
But
Let's read it. I want everybody to read that now so you understand what we are saying. Now, if a man be lawful, did we have that? Was it lawful? In Ezekiel? Just and do that which is lawful
and right.
Right would be the righteousness. Lawful. Okay? Justified. Lawful. All these words. And do that which is lawful and right. What happened? If a man be just
and do that which is lawful
and right. What else? Then he has not lifted up his soul and have not eaten upon the mountain worshipping idols. Then have not lifted up his eyes to idol. And it goes on. And he begins to show you. Yes, the things that will keep you in bondage. All right? Now, let's get back here now. But in James 1, we're dealing with the law. A law we're dealing with. Because James 1 verse 25 says, let's read this. But whosoever looketh. What does it mean to look? What have you ever looked into something? So you might have a situation before you. Or somebody presents something to you. I say, give me a little while, let me look into it. You ever hear that talk?
Yeah.
Huh? Let me look into it. I know you can look in the shop, you know, window shopping. But it goes a little deeper than this. Okay? So, if he's just, but yes, sir, but whosoever looketh, you got to take time. This got to be more real, and you love this more than anything else. He looketh into what? The perfect law of liberty. That's what we're talking about. There's a perfect law of liberty. You remember now that the law, Mosaic law, could not make anything perfect. It was a schoolmaster. Are you following me? It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But if there was a law that could make us perfect, then righteousness would have been by the law. There would be no need for the debt of Christ. But because there is no law that could present the comer perfect, God had to bring in another law. Now it's called the perfect law of liberty. Now how do you look into this? Your soul. Do it magnify the Lord. You get that? And my spirit. Do it rejoice in God my Savior. With the natural eyes, no. But the spirit. And that's why I said we walk by faith. And not by sight. Because there's a law of faith. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whosoever, help me. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now listen. You can't just pick up your Bible, one verse of scripture, or pick out a little piece of verse out there for your coffee. Before your coffee, you know, you have it over there, and you read, and you're gone. That's not looking. You've got to meditate. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Blessed is the man that walketh. He meditates in the law of God day and night. Amen. That's looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's the law of grace. Amen. This brings us to the throne of glory. I just feel like shouting tonight. He looks into the perfect. You following me? Perfect law of liberty. And not just a quick look and he's gone. Come to church and you once in a while you're quick. No. But he continued therein. That means you live in it. That's you. He continue in it. You see, it's not just Sunday morning. You need to listen to that. And let those little fog out your brain and, well, I got so much problem I can't look. That's why you need to look. Oh, everything is going wrong. No, not yet. Because everything might be going wrong in the flesh, but my soul rejoiced in the Lord. And my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. Because he that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Are you listening tonight? Everything can be going wrong, but yet you're hunkered. Your soul has found an anchor. And it enters into that within the veil. And it takes hold, amen, of Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hi. Continued therein and says, he being not a forgetful hearer. Have you ever? They can't remember what you preach on Sunday night or this morning. They're not focusing. They let the devil catch the seed. But you're not a forgetful hearer. When you hear the word devil, you're not going to take my word. He's not a forgetful hearer. Do you see the qualifications? But he's not just a hearer, but he's a doer of the work. Doer of the word, work. This man. Come on. Who? Who? This man. This woman. This man. Shall be blessed. Jesus. Shall be blessed in his deed. This man. What man? The one that looks. You know what? When the burning bush, and when God saw that Moses start paying attention, he spoke with him. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see what this great sign is. And when he did, what happened? When he did, what happened? The Lord spoke. Because he began to look. Not just a glance, but he began to look. You've got to look into what God's doing. Amen? You have to look into what God is doing. Amen? You have to look into what God is doing. That means how to meditate in his law. That's looking in his word. When you got some spare time, right? What do you do with it? Well, I got to go see cousin. I got to go here. I got to go do this. Yeah. Every time you got a spare time. You don't slow down and say, I got 5 days. I'm going to give at least 2 to the Lord to look. You go window shopping and you look, right? Yeah. Well, the Lord want you to go window shopping. Amen. Through the word. Yeah. And you go through and look and say, my goodness, the next time I testify, I'm going to be wearing this dress. The next time I get on my feet, this is the kind of suit I'm going to put. I'm not talking about this suit. But that's the way I'm going to get dressed up. I'm going to put on my best dress. You go window shopping, don't you? And then you get in the store and you buy. Well, you go window shop. You look into and go inside and buy. And he told one church, buy of me gold. Tried in the fire. Hallelujah. I counsel thee. And the reason why some of us were empty, naked, barren, is because you're not shopping. You're gonna, well, I was saved 20 years ago. You got on the same old, same old. But God has a lot of garments for you. Beside the one you receive at Calvary. So you've got to look. I like that. Don't you like the scripture? This man is blessed. But we think that blessing is the guy that has millions of dollars. What's he going to do with it? You think he's going to take it in his coffin? And that's where we are all heading. Oh, I don't believe it. I'm not trying to scare you, right? Calm down. I'm not trying to scare you. But most of us here tonight, the tree is already growing. That's going to make your casket. That's wood. Where do you think it come from? You think it suddenly come? I'm not trying to scare you, but it's a lesson. You're big and high and no nuts going to happen. If you could find out that tree, you probably want to cut it down. But your tree's already growing. Or it might be 20 years, but how long do you think it takes to produce? So that's why we need to calm down and realize what life is. Amen. We're not here in this body forever. Amen. But there's another hope. Yeah. Okay? There's another body that the Lord is giving to us. A new body. Now, the soul that sinned, how does God get us out? In Leviticus 17, go there quickly. You remember that all souls are mine, said the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse, where it says, okay, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Read on there, 11 to 13. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you. Notice, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to do what? To make, not another, but to make an atonement for your soul. All right, so the soul needs an atonement. How is he going to get you out of prison? Through the atonement of the blood. Yeah. My. He said, the atonement for your soul, the blood. Nobody can get saved or come to Jesus without the blood. You know why? Because we fall in sin. So the way back is through the blood. So when the psalmist said, I look to the right, and there was no refuge, no one cared for my soul. He took the Lamb of God to become man and came in the form of man and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Help me, where am I? For it is the blood. The what? The blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So remember now, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But there is an atonement. My Lord. There is a refuge. Someone came and died to rescue you from your sin. Next verse, do I need verse? Therefore I said to the children of Israel, then it goes on. Then it goes into another. All right, look at this. Let me put it to give you. Because this is awesome. No soul of you shall eat blood. Neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you, read on, eat blood. Verse 13. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourn among you, which hunted and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it. All right, back up to verse 11, 12. Notice, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood, notice, that make an atonement for your soul. Next verse. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no man, no soul of you shall eat blood. Okay, let's stop. No soul of you should eat blood. I want to show you something quickly in closing. That was under the law. And Israel had that in their mind. No blood eating. No flesh eating. Now what would you do if you were brought up in that environment? Don't eat blood. I want you to pay attention. And don't eat flesh. Right? It's clear, isn't it? That was the law. But go to chapter 6 of John. Go to chapter 6 of John. And here came a man. A man from Galilee. Go to verse 27, is it? And now he's telling you. 32. What is he telling you?
Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you.
Then Jesus, are you following now? You have to follow lesser. Yes. Then Jesus, changing all that, and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you.
Moses gave you not
that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Then say that unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have seen, am I at the right place now? Verse 53. Let's go down for time. Remember they wanted the bread, but when Jesus explained now what he's talking about in verse 52, what does that say? Go back up some more now. Verse 51. All right, notice here, the bread, talking about bread. But in verse 51, Jesus says, let's all read it. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, verse 52, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us of his flesh to eat? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except, follow now, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But remember Leviticus, we read it, you shall not eat blood or flesh. It's an abomination to do that. And now Jesus is telling them, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, otherwise you have no life. What would you do? You had to have a revelation. Okay, right now you understand, but how far are you away from there? But they didn't understand if God, unless God touched their mind, they thought he meant literal flesh, but that was the flesh of the Word of God because he was that bread that came down from heaven that a man might eat and not die. That word flesh. That word became flesh and dwell among us. And that's what we need tonight. And unless every human being eat that flesh and drink that blood, there's no life in your soul. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. How do I eat the flesh of Jesus? Through the word. Through the spirit. Through the anointing. Somebody shout. By praising him. By glorifying him. By telling him, Lord, I believe. I accept. I will walk in the perfect law of liberty. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all our sins. Amen.